We could honor Aaron's memory together. Right now? Maeve laughed. What? Well, said Maeve, don't turn around, but...
Good afternoon, said a familiar voice behind her.
Kalina whirled around to see Stuart offering her a towel.
That was a very impressive performance, Kalina.
Thank you. You stuck around to watch?
I knew cheerleading was important to you. I wanted to see what it was you did. It's quite different from how I imagined it. Much more strenuous.
It's different in every school, said Maeve, blushing crimson. Some schools just want pretty girls to dance around. Rutherford's super athletic. We won regional champions last year. Her voice grew high. Well, I'd better go. The other girls and I are going out for milkshakes. I'm guessing you have plans? Next time, Maeve?
It had been a while since she'd spent proper time with her best friend, but Maeve's wink signaled that she understood.
Sure thing. Have fun.
Maeve picked up her gym bag.
Wait, said Kalina. She remembered the vampires from yesterday. Their cruel faces, their sharp fangs, and couldn't help herself.
Be careful, okay?
Careful?
Whatever happened to Aaron, just don't do anything dumb, okay? Because I don't want to mourn two of my best friends this year.
Maeve smiled. Promise, she said. Love you.
Love you.
Maeve trotted off happily. She stopped and turned around. Hey, Stuart, she said.
Yes?
You going to take care of her?
I certainly hope so.
Kalina could almost see his pale skin turn crimson around the cheekbone.
Because if you don't, remember, you saw what we could do just now. You hurt one of our girls, and you'll have the whole of Rutherford High cheer team on your ass. Got it?
I wouldn't dream of going up against the whole of the Rutherford High cheer team, said Stuart.
Make sure she has fun.
Maeve put up a warning finger.
I'll have her home by midnight.
Maeve giggled,
a bit surprised at her own daring. Bye, she chirped, and vanished.
She's an interesting one, said Stuart.
She seems to care for you very deeply.
Kalina nodded. When I broke up with Aaron, she and I just spent hours watching Xena Warrior Princess and eating granola bars, talking about how much we hated men. She's a good friend. Normally I'd ask you if you had a good-looking brother to double date with. But under the circumstances...
Under the circumstances.
I wouldn't let Jeannie Coltrane near your brother. Kalina laughed. So, do vampires eat at all? Because I'm craving a burger.
We can sometimes digest raw steak,
said Stuart, warily.
If it's bloody.
E. coli, said Kalina. You're not going to find raw steak at the Stomping Ground.
The Stomping Ground?
Old Vineyard Press. Now the hottest place in town.
I think I'll come for the company, not the food.
As long as I'm not both. She saw a shadow flit across Stuart's face and regretted her joke.
Kidding, Stuart, kidding.
Please don't joke about that,
said Stuart. She saw again the same darkness she had seen earlier that morning.
Come on, let's go. We're going to have to walk, though.
I have a car, said Stuart. A new one. It's outside.
Where do you get all this money?
Well, said Stuart. After a few thousand years, you learn a few things about good investments. I lost a good chunk of my fortune in the Great Depression. But I also purchased several slaughterhouses in New York City for the purpose of keeping animals.
Ew, said Kalina.
You shouldn't be so shocked, said Stuart. Those slaughterhouses are now some of the most expensive properties in Soho. I sold them for $5 million each.
That's a hell of a lot of money.
I have a long time to spend it.
He took her hand. The Stomping Ground was lively that night. Kalina and Stuart sat across from each other, trying to hear each other over the din of the music.
I feel ridiculous eating all this when you can't have anything, said Kalina, wolfing down her second order of fries.
Stuart withdrew a flask of vampire wine from his pocket.
I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all. She looked down. Is it real blood?
Yes, said Stuart. And no.
I'm sorry?
Are you aware of the rite of transubstantiation?
Asked Stuart. I'm a practicing Catholic, said Kalina. Of course I am. She thought for a moment. Wait, are you?
A Catholic? I was. I was born in England long before King Henry broke with the Catholic Church. But we vampires have a complicated relationship to the Catholic faith.
Crosses, holy water?
Those can be quite painful. When objects are as invested in belief as crosses or holy water, they become quite powerful. Vampires belong to that same world of magic, of myth and legend, of belief and superstition. I was extraordinarily religious as a young man. I even considered becoming a monk, but I can no longer enter a church.
But the wine?
In the rite of transubstantiation, the consecrated wine in communion becomes literally the blood of Christ.
That's what we believe, said Kalina.
Technically. I'm not sure how many people still believe it today. But according to the strictest Catholics, the wine becomes the blood, you understand? It is invested with belief, and thus it becomes, in a sense, magical.
Vampire wine is communion wine? Kalina furrowed her brow. But how can vampires drink something so holy?
There is a vampire priest, said Stuart. In Italian, from the days of the Renaissance. He was turned after he entered the priesthood. But he had, according to the Catholic faith, given his soul to God. So there was no soul for the vampire to take from him.
It was an impossible impasse. He was, in essence, stuck between two systems of belief, of magic. And I don't use that term lightly.
He, alone among us vampires, was able to withstand the presence of a church, of a cross, or holy water. And when he performed the rite of the host, the blood he created was able to sustain us.
So, all this vampire wine...
Consecrated by one man, said Stuart. There are not too few of us, vampires who do not wish to drink from humans unwilling. And there are many who think that religion has no place in a vampire's life, like my brother. Those who wish to kill this priest, whose name we are forbidden to reveal for his safety, is hidden safely, where he is able to perform services, to supply us with this wine. For if he were to be killed, we would be forced to resort to violence once more.
That's crazy, said Kalina.
Belief is a powerful thing, said Stuart. It is at the root of all magic, all things supernatural.
How can you still be religious? Asked Kalina. After what happened to you?
I doubt it every day, said Stuart. I struggle with my doubts daily. Sometimes, when my hunger threatens to consume me, I cannot bear the restrictions my faith puts on me and long to feast, like Jaeger, on human blood. It is a daily struggle.
That's what my parents used to say, said Kalina. Her phone rang. Excuse me, she said. It's my brother, Justin. You'll meet him. Hello?
Kalina!
The voice on the phone was full of relief.
Thank God you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. She paused.
Why?
I'm at the hospital.
The whole cheerleading squad's just been admitted. Something attacked them. Most of the injuries resulted from a panic. Bruises, broken bones, split lips they gave each other when they were stampeding. But, Maeve...
What happened?
Some animal. Nothing I've seen before. She's lost a lot of blood.
I'll be right over. Kalina stood up. Stuart, drive me to the hospital right now.
What is it?
Something just attacked the cheerleading squad.
Jaeger.
Stuart glowered.
Let's go.
The drive to the hospital seemed interminably slow. Kalina gnawed at her nails in frustration as Stuart drove. At last they arrived and rushed into the hospital.
Justin!
She flung her arms around her brother.
She's alive, said Justin. Don't worry, she's alive.
He looked up at Stuart.
Who are you? Can we see her? Asked Stuart. It's supposed to be just family.
Justin's voice trailed off.
You're family enough, Kalina. Come on. She's asleep now.
Stuart followed her in. The sight of Maeve, lying pale and motionless on the hospital bed, was almost more than Kalina could bear.
Her neck.
We don't know what it was, yet,
said Justin. Kalina turned to Stuart, her eyes filled with questioning. He nodded. It was a vampire, after all.
Jaeger.
Kalina spat out the word.
Damn it! Excuse me.
She stormed out of the hospital into the night.
Jaeger! She called. I know you're out there. Get over here right now. And don't even think of trying anything. I have my stake.
The knight seemed to laugh back at her. Suddenly, with a swooping wind, Jaeger appeared before her.
Hi there, precious.
You rang?
What did you do? What did you do?
He stalked towards her. He looked like a jaguar in the night, his gait long and graceful, with cool, collected eyes fixed on her, fixed on his prey.
Do what?
Maeve, she said. You attacked Maeve, didn't you?
Did I? So many girls, I can't recall.
He bared his teeth at her and licked the blood from his fangs.
Was this one of the cheerleaders?
And to think, I almost thought you were a decent guy.
I'm a vampire, darling. Underestimate that, and you're a bigger fool than I thought you were.
Go to hell.
Kalina couldn't control herself. She rushed towards him, punching him straight across the face, pummeling his chest with her fists.
Aaron, Stuart, they could control themselves. It was so, so hard, but they could manage it. Why couldn't you? Why can't you?
Jaeger grabbed her wrist and stared at her in the face, his eyes now dark with fury.
I'm not Aaron or Stuart, he said. I never will be. And...
He pushed aside her long hair from her neck to reveal her neck and moved his lips so close to her neck she can feel his breath on her skin. For a moment, her heart stopped beating. It was only the fear, she told herself. She closed her eyes, prepared for the worst when she felt his mouth on her neck. There was no sharp bites, no pain. Instead, his lips were kissing her gently along her throat, heading up to her jawline, and then her mouth. She found herself kissing back. Jaeger's lips were so soft, yet hard with the pressure of passion pressing against her lips. His kiss was at once hot and cold, gentle and hard. She could not stop kissing him and wanting more. The moment she regained control, she kicked him, hard. He stepped backwards, a smile spreading across his face.
Unlike my brothers, he said.
When I want something, I just take it.
He vanished into the night. Chapter 11
Kalina!
She whirled around, her face red with shame. What had happened? She could have kicked herself for being so stupid, for letting Jaeger in, for getting close to him, for succumbing to the strong attraction she felt for him. He was just as bad as she'd imagined. All the jokes and witty banter in the world couldn't make up for how he had taken advantage of her trust, how he had attacked Maeve. If this was a vampire nature, she wanted no part of it.
Kalina!
Stuart was running out to meet her. He looked more handsome than ever in this moonlight. She understood now, better than ever, the strength that it required to live, day by day, without succumbing to the evils of his nature. She admired him. She could only imagine how difficult it was for him to exist, to strain against the bonds of his temptation.
"Are you all right?"
"Jaeger came," she said, shivering. "You were right about him, Stuart. He's everything you said he was, and worse. He attacked those girls. He attacked Maeve."
"Oh, Kalina, I'm sorry."
He enveloped her in his arms.
"Please, don't. I will bring him to justice. I promise you that. I can excuse him, say that it is in his nature to sin. But it is in mine, too. It was in Aaron's. And we didn't. And he spits in the face of all of us who try to maintain our humanity."
Kalina was shaking. "When Jaeger told me he was a vampire, I couldn't help defending him, thinking, you know, it was no worse than eating a hamburger. It was his nature. But, God, Maeve's my friend. It's different somehow. When someone can talk to you and reason with you and decide you're food, it can't be someone's nature. It just can't." Stuart sighed.
"Screw it. I'm becoming a vegetarian."
She wiped away the tears in her eyes.
"Maeve will be fine," said Stuart. "When the doctors weren't looking, I slipped her some blood. She's still asleep, but the blood will help her heal faster."
"Thank you," said Kalina. "I'm sure she'd appreciate it. You know, she believes in vampires."
"Will you tell her?"
Stuart asked. Kalina nodded. "If that's okay with you, I think she deserves to know what happened. But is it okay?"
"We can't keep our secret forever," said Stuart.
I'm glad you're here, said Kalina quietly. She kissed him quickly on the cheek. Take me home?
As you wish.
He took his keys out of his pocket. They drove home in silence. Is every day going to be like this? She said. Now that I'm in with vampires?
Not every day, he said. But many days, and many will be worse.
What a life.
I'm sorry to get you involved, said Stuart. But you were involved from your birth. It's in your blood. I can smell it on you. As you get older, if you'll excuse my vulgarity, riper, in the minds of vampires, you will be in danger, whether we're around or not.
Like I said, said Kalina, as they pulled into the driveway of her house, I'm glad you're here. They stopped the car and got out. Stuart walked her to her doorstep.
Well,
he said, clearing his throat. Well, she echoed him. Fun date, huh?
Fun date.
He couldn't help but laughing. She stood on the tips of her toes and kissed him. Better now? He looked at her in surprise.
Yes, much better.
He wrapped his arms around her, and she could feel the warmth of his kiss spreading from her lips throughout her body, like hot tea on a cold winter's night. His body was cold, ice cold, but his kiss felt real, felt alive. He wasn't like Jaeger or Aaron. No, he was strong, mature. She could trust him. She felt his desire pulse through the kiss, his suffering, his self-control. She pulled away slowly to look at him. On his face was a look of inexpressible joy.
I'm so glad you did that, said Stuart.
You're so strong, she said. So brave to live the way you do.
It's a struggle, he said, but easier now that you're with me.
Do you want to come inside, Stuart? The invitation escaped her lips. He pushed her through the doorway and continued kissing her as they moved towards the couch. She pulled him down towards her, wrapping her legs around him. He stopped, pulling away, composing himself. It's okay, she said, stroking his face. Whatever you're comfortable with, it's fine with me.
Thank you, he said.
But would you mind sticking around? I feel safer with you here. You can sleep on the couch if you want.
Or next to me, she laughed. I won't try to seduce you in the middle of the night.
Promise.
I can't say I'd object, said Stuart. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be difficult. But my self-control. I'm still a vampire, Kalina.
Kalina stood up. I understand. She stopped. She suddenly felt very lightheaded. The exhaustion of her cheerleading practice, the stress, the attack on Maeve, Jaeger's kiss, was suddenly too much for her. Her vision began to swoon before her. I'm still a... It was the last thing she heard before she fell to the floor. Kalina woke to find her brother standing over her.
Kelly?
Justin stroked her forehead.
You're okay.
What's that smell?
Bacon. Your boyfriend's a wizard with a frying pan.
That's not all he is, she murmured, her mind still cloudy with sleep.
What?
Nothing. What happened?
Low blood pressure, Kaylee. How many times have I told you? Someone with low blood pressure should never, ever skip dinner, no matter what your cheerleading friends say.
I didn't. She trailed off. How long have I been out?
2 days, said Justin. Thank God the Stuart guy was willing to stick around. I was able to make my shifts.
He cupped her cheek with his hand. You really know how to pick the good ones. He stayed watching over you for 2 days.
God, Justin, she blushed. If you like him so much, you can marry him.
I like my significant others in skirts, thank you very much. He swatted her with a pillow.
I swear, you and guys, moths to a flame, Kaylee. I'm going to have to quit my job just to make sure none of these boys have any bad intentions.
I don't think you have to worry, said Kalina. Justin turned red.
Just remember, he stammered. There's a box of condoms in the downstairs bathroom, just in case.
Ew! Kalina sat up and hit him with the pillow.
Ew, that's gross, Justin. It's none of your business. I know it's gross, said Justin. Believe me, I don't want to have this conversation any more than you do. It's even weirder for me. You're my kid's sister. He sighed. But I'm also your acting father figure. And I'm a few months away from being a doctor. And it's my job to keep you healthy and safe and responsible. Justin sighed. Just please don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. As far as I'm concerned, you're still playing with Barbies. Believe me, said Kalina grimly. I wasn't planning on it. And I never played with Barbies. A knock came at the door.
Is she up?
She could hear Stuart's voice. Come on in, she said. Eat, said Stuart, bringing in a large plate of bacon. You hungry? Justin asked him. I can get another plate for you. I'm good, said Stuart, a bit too quickly. Eat, Kalina. Justin tactfully retreated. Are you going to make breakfast for me every morning? If so, I should get sick more often. Only if I get to do this every morning. He kissed her forehead. Sounds like a fair trade. She kissed him again. Kalina, can I tell you something? Sure. She began digging into the eggs. I've wanted to do that ever since I first saw you. But given the circumstances, I wouldn't have imposed, have presumed. I'm very glad you presumed for me. I'm glad I did too, she said. Chapter 12. Kalina and Stuart spent the next week in something approximating happiness. They fell quickly into a routine. After school, they would visit Maeve in the hospital for an hour or two, then head to the vast expanses of land behind the Greystone Manor, where Stuart would teach Kalina how to fight. It was a romantic kind of tutelage, punctuated with kisses and laughter between bouts of serious fighting. And by the seventh day, the routine felt so natural to Kalina that she could hardly believe it had only been a few days since she had first met him. Jaeger, for his part, had not been seen since that night in the parking lot. He had vanished, for better or for worse, leaving Kalina with little more than the memory of his kiss and a feeling of hot anger in her heart. She did not miss him. Nevertheless, she could not stop herself from wondering about his whereabouts, and hoped in the end that he would stay away for as long as he could. The first step had been to reveal the secret of the vampires to Maeve. Kalina had been dreading the conversation. She imagined Maeve's look of horror when Kalina revealed that the thing that attacked her was of the same breed as the thing that she herself was dating. Imagine that Maeve would accuse her of madness. But when she sat down next to Maeve's hospital bed one Wednesday afternoon, she found the words came easier to her than she'd expect. Maeve, she said softly, do you have any idea what attacked you? Maeve shook her head miserably. That's the thing, she said. It was a person. I mean, it wasn't an animal. It didn't look like an animal. It looked like a human being, only it had fangs. And it bit me. That's strange. And the weird part is, it didn't feel like just some weird psycho trying to bite me for whatever reason. Whatever attacked me didn't feel human. It was fast, so fast, and strong. Strong enough to fight off an entire cheerleading squad. And its eyes, I remember it was like being a deer in the headlights, you know? I couldn't move. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't move away. I know, said Kalina softly. Do you think I'm crazy? Maeve's eyes widened. I know it sounds crazy, but... But what? Okay, you have to promise not to judge me, okay? I promise. Kalina squeezed her hand. I think whatever attacked me was like a vampire or something. She covered her face with her hands. I know it sounds stupid. It's so crazy. I don't even know why I'm saying it. I mean, I know vampires don't exist. It's just a fairy tale. You were attacked by a vampire, Kalina said gravely. I'm certain of it. Maeve removed her hands from her face. How? She asked. Because, Kalina said, vampires do exist, and some of them live in this town, and I talked to one of them. You talked to a... They're not all bad, Kalina said hurriedly. The one that attacked you was one of the bad ones. But there's good vampires, too. Ones that don't drink human blood. Ones that are safe. What do they look like? Like regular people, said Kalina. Only prettier. And they don't have to just come out at night, either. They can come out at any time of day if they're wearing the special ring with life's blood in it. It hurts them, but they can do it if they have to. And then they're faster than normal people and stronger. And if they stare at you long enough, they can control your mind. And I thought I sounded crazy.
Maeve, said Kalina. Her voice was heavy with the seriousness of her words. I need to ask you a favor. I need you to promise not to tell anybody about this.
Maeve sat up in her hospital bed. Promise, she said. Cheerleader's honor.
Stuart's a vampire.
What? Stuart's a vampire, and so is Aaron, and so is Jaeger. That's the vampire who attacked you. He's Stuart's brother, but the two of them have been feuding for centuries since Stuart's good and Jaeger's... Well, he really isn't.
Stuart's a vampire?
Maeve's mouth gaped open like a fish.
And so is Aaron?
I know it sounds like a lot to take in, but whatever happened to you that night you were attacked, that was a vampire. Because the vampires have moved back to town and made this place a whole lot more dangerous.
How do you know you can trust Stuart?
I just know, okay? Kalina's voice grew sharp, even defensive. He's not like Jaeger. He doesn't drink from humans.
Yeah, and what about the vampire who attacked me, huh? I'm sure he didn't drink from humans either.
It isn't like that. A vampire's a vampire.
No, that's not true. Listen.
Kalina's voice rose.
If a person attacked you, you wouldn't blame another human for it, would you?
No, but then why blame another vampire?
It's different.
Maeve was shaking.
I saw what I saw. Those creatures, they're not human, Kalina. They're dangerous.
Stuart saved your life, said Kalina. He gave you some of his blood while you were sleeping to help you cure faster.
Thanks to him, you're almost better already.
Maeve stopped.
Why did he do that?
Because you're my friend.
How long have you known about this?
Only a few days.
Hey, Kalina?
What?
I'm really tired now. I think I need to... just ponder this for a bit. Do you mind coming back tomorrow?
By the next day, Maeve had seemed to reconcile herself to the prospect of vampires, and to Stuart in particular. A good night's sleep and some serious considerations had calmed her nerves.
But never go anywhere without a stake, she said. I don't care how cute or nice he is. Just keep it in your purse, just in case.
And that was her final word on the matter. Meanwhile, Stuart had helped Kalina learn to fight. If not as well as he, then nevertheless well enough to defend herself from his blows. He showed her the full range of vampire powers, from flying from treetop to treetop, to rushing past her in a single gust of wind, from compulsion. He had to be very careful in this matter. For while she understood the necessity of recognizing the warning signs of compulsion upon her, she was reticent to give up her control to hand combat.
All this served me well, said Stuart, for many centuries.
What did you do all that time? Said Kalina, retying her sneakers after a long and physically draining bout of karate.
I fought mostly, said Stuart. My father, Jaeger, and I, we were all mercenaries in the army of a Roman general, Octavius.
A vampire.
Yes, a vampire. He was perhaps the strongest vampire I knew, and the most dangerous. I pity any human that he encounters.
Why did you fight for him?
A vampire has to make a living somehow, Stuart said. And we can't exactly open bank accounts or get normal jobs. At least, we couldn't in those days. And our skills were out of date. Who wants someone handy with a broadsword once gunpowder was invented? But Octavius took us in. He gave us something to do.
Did you kill people, then? Stuart flushed.
Other vampires, said Stuart. Octavius had different troops for different devices. Jaeger often served as an assassin, using his skills to murder humans hired by humans. He was involved in several of the Renaissance quarrels. He killed a Borgia or two, I know that much. I chose to fight more fairly. We involved ourselves with disagreements between vampire clans. I was killing my own kind, true, but it felt less like murder.
You said vampire wine was only invented during the Renaissance. What did you do before that?
Stuart's face darkened.
Please don't ask me that, he said. You already know the answer. Animal blood only has some of the nutritional properties vampires need to survive. I did my best to kill as few as possible.
I'm sorry.
It is a difficult thing, said Stuart. I killed in order that I might live.
It was cowardly, in a way. Jaeger always said it was different for vampires, for we were killing food, part of the food chain. I admit I was too cowardly to let myself starve to death. I feared what would happen afterwards. What God's plan was for vampires, especially vampires who had killed, and choosing who would live and who would die when I was forced to feed. It is a choice I hope you never have to make, Kalina.
I'm not afraid, said Kalina. It's not your fault.
It was my fault, said Stuart. I cannot forgive myself for that cowardice. What stopped me was technology, not my own morality.
So, if vampire wine weren't available...
I don't know what I would do, said Stuart sharply. But I'll tell you one thing. I would get as far away from you as possible. The location of Father Botticelli is one of the most closely guarded secrets in the vampire community for this very reason. If some ill were to befall him, we would be lost.
Couldn't you just turn another priest?
No vampire with enough soul to drink vampire wine could do that to another human being, said Stuart.
But if it saved the lives of all those other humans you'd have to eat otherwise?
It's not worth it, said Stuart. Changing another, it is worse than death. A clean death sends the victim to the afterlife. But vampires, they last forever.
Let's stop talking about this, said Kalina. Something in Stuart's tone scared her. There was a darkness in him that she could not reach, could not touch. She approached it with a mixture of pity and fear. She wanted to help him wash away his guilt, to redeem himself, and yet she could not deny that there was something thrilling about his danger, his capacity for terrible things. Every time he kissed her, and she knew that he was straining against his temptation to consume her totally, she felt the same rush of adrenaline she felt whenever she was doing a particularly strenuous somersault on the cheerleading pitch.
"Let's not talk," she said again, wrapping her arms around him and kissing him. His lips collided with hers. His mouth opened into hers. He pushed her down upon the sofa and began unbuttoning her blouse. She opened the buttons of his shirt and felt her lips press against the smooth expanses of his chest. They did not stop. They could not stop. Their bodies were tangled into each other, their limbs at angles across the surface of the couch. They had both by now stripped to their underwear, and Stuart's arms were tight upon her back.
"We have to stop,"
he whispered, and she gave a little moan in reply.
"Just a second,"
she said. She knew it was dangerous. Danger was part of the thrill.
"You know what I'll do."
She kissed his shoulder.
"Damn it!"
With a searing noise like the sharpening of a knife, his fangs had revealed themselves, betraying his desire.
"Oh, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
"No, it's okay."
She cupped his face. "Let me see them."
"I don't want you to."
"It's okay." She smiled at him. "It's part of who you are." She examined the fangs. They were long and sharp, white like ivory.
"I want to know all of you," she said.
"Don't be so sure of that," said Stuart,
before he pulled himself away. A few days later, Kalina mentioned to him the matchbox Aaron had given her, and Jaeger's detective-like reaction to it.
"Knox," she said. "Is that anywhere important?"
Stuart's face darkened.
"The Stromboli brothers," he said. "They sell our vampire wine. They're our main San Francisco client."
"I see."
"But Aaron had no reason to spend too much time there. Normally I handled the..."
Stuart looked up.
"I was in San Francisco at the time."
"Why would he have gone himself to the Stromboli brothers without contacting me?"
"I don't know," said Kalina. "Can I guess the next step is heading to San Francisco?" The following day, Kalina and Stuart loaded up the car for a weekend in San Francisco to head to Knox. Maeve had long since made a full recovery, thanks to Stuart's vampire blood, and she urged Kalina to go.
"I'm better than ever," she'd said.
"Well, off we go," said Kalina.
"You know, I feel like a detective."
"Very good," said Stuart.
A car drove up past them before they made it out the driveway. A happy-looking pair in athletic shorts. A man and a woman leaped out.
"Hi there," said the man.
We're a couple of hackers. Just here for some trailblazing from Texas. Any of y'all got a map?
Stuart stiffened as Kalina searched in her purse. I've got my GPS if you want to... She almost opened the door before Stuart grabbed her wrist.
Oh, shit.
Before she could recognize what was happening, Stuart had bolted out of the car and was engaged in violent combat with both vampires. She could see a haze of blood and claws. Screams and shouts filled her ears.
Stuart!
Don't get out of the car!
He called. She rifled through her purse for the stake.
Don't move!
Stuart was a strong vampire, but he could not repel two at once. She could see bruises appear on his body as they beat him, as he beat them.
Oh, no you don't, she said to herself.
Over here, she cried, leaping out of the car. Before the first one could react, she drove a stake straight through his back. The woman looked over, startled, giving Stuart enough time to stake her. The two corpses sank to the ground and swiftly decomposed into ash.
I told you to stay in the car,
Stuart said, gasping before he collapsed.
Stuart!
She cradled him in her arms.
Stuart! I've lost a lot of blood,
he coughed.
Just drink from me. It'll be... No!
Stuart's voice grew louder.
I can't. Not life's blood.
Well, who else are we going to find to give you blood? Nobody else knows you're a vampire. Stuart coughed as she dragged him into the back seat of the car.
Maeve.
They drove as quickly as they could to Maeve's house. In breathless gasps, Kalina explained the situation.
Oh, hell no, said Maeve. I'm not letting a vampire drink from me again.
Please, Maeve, just a little. It's what Stuart did to help you. You could have died if it weren't for him. Maeve looked Stuart up and down, her eyes wary.
If you don't do this, he'll die.
I do it myself, but I can't.
Why not?
Wrong blood type, Kalina stammered. Maeve, please, it's life or death.
Well, Maeve considered, he did help me before. Are you sure he won't get too aggressive?
Kalina pulled out her stake.
If he tries, he won't get that far.
She caught Stuart's surprised eyes.
But he won't get that far, I promise. But if it makes you feel better...
Maeve held out her wrist gingerly.
Go ahead, she said. But Keely's got a stake.
Stuart took her wrist gratefully and bit her as tenderly as he could.
Ouch!
Kalina watched Maeve's face, from the initial indignant pain to something different, smoother. Maeve closed her eyes, her lips parted.
It's not so bad,
she said, her voice trailing off dreamily.
Why, Maeve was enjoying it.
She leaned back upon the sofa, her eyes heavy and her breathing became labored.
Wow,
Maeve sighed, and Kalina could almost hear her heartbeat grow faster and more powerful as Stuart continued sucking the blood from her wrist. She could hear Stuart's soft moans, the sound of something not unlike life returning to him, the pleasure he took in feeding, at last, after so long, against herself. She felt jealous. How was it that Maeve could give Stuart such pleasure, such life, when she could not? How was it that Maeve could experience this, but she could not?
Hey, that's enough now,
she said, a bit too loudly for her own comfort.
You don't have to,
Maeve said, as Stuart forced himself away. His eyes were wide with gratitude as they searched her.
Thank you, miss, said Stuart. You are very kind. When I am recovered, should you still be ill, I am happy to provide you with more of my blood.
Maeve giggled, the daze of the bite still lingering over her. Kalina swallowed down her jealousy.
Maeve had saved Stuart's life, after all.
And yet all she could think, as Maeve and Stuart stared into each other's eyes, was that this was an experience that Stuart and Kalina would never be able to share together.
Chapter 13. In the days following Stuart's attack, Kalina considered going out to Knox many times. She wanted something to do. Anything was better than being alone with her own jealousy. Stuart had fed on Maeve several times following the first healing, at her suggestion, for while the first blood had staved off death, he was not entirely cured. She knew, in her conscious self, that Maeve was in no way malicious or aware of what she was doing. The ecstatic look on her face when Stuart was biting her was proof that she wasn't truly in control of her own actions, and certainly Maeve would never betray her trust. But Kalina nonetheless couldn't stop the jealousy that she felt watching Stuart's lips tight on Maeve's wrist or neck, watching Maeve's face as she felt the vampire's breath hot upon her neck. Kalina had read about humans that gave themselves willingly to vampires. Not all their blood, but just enough. Stuart had mentioned this group of feeders, those that derived pleasure from the endorphin high that came when you drank a vampire's blood, or when he drank yours. She could see the ecstasy in both their faces, and it was unlike anything she had seen before. Stuart was a vampire. Of course he was. She had known that. And yet, seeing him biting Maeve, she felt for the first time that his vampirism was something that she could not be a part of, could not share, that could not be explained away with a philosophical or logical argument about humans and vampires' places in the food chain. And yet Maeve could share it, and she could not. What was there about her blood that made her so special, so important to be protected? At first, it had made her feel special. Now it sickened her. When her own boyfriend couldn't drink from her, if he wanted it, if she wanted it. When it was placing her in danger at every turn, that every vampire she met would look at her with lust in his eyes, because her blood represented the key to everything he ever wanted, either eternal power or a chance at being human once more. It sickened her. Her own blood distressed her. Her own body disgusted her. She threw herself into her old sports, kickboxing, cheerleading. She practiced jogs and tree climbing out in the vineyard, working out all her excess rage and pain and desire into taut, hard muscle. When she was working out in the vineyard one morning, a breeze whipped across her face, and she sniffed something on the horizon. She stopped. A vampire. She tensed her muscles. She felt the soft breeze flow around her ankles. He was coming. He came up behind her, in a flash. She dodged away. He came at her again. She feigned to the left, then rounded around to his side, turning around quickly to place her hands palms down at the opening of his chest. "Gotcha," she said, her hands exactly at the spot where she would have staked if she had one with her. Jaeger laughed.
"Stuart has taught you all he knows, I see.
To stave off creepy vamps like you." Jaeger seemed as cool as moonlight. He betrayed no embarrassment for what had happened between them last time, and Kalina tried as hard as she could to tame her blush. Even right now, she felt her body instantly responding to the closeness between them.
"I see," said Jaeger. "So I can't sneak up on you now?"
He moved closer. "Not if you want to remain undead."
"Fair's fair,"
said Jaeger. He withdrew. Then suddenly, Jaeger closed in and surprised her. It was as though she was under compulsion whenever she got this close to him. Her brain clouded as he engulfed her in his arms, his head bent down to her neck. She could feel the tip of a sharp fang barely touching her skin. She froze, not sure what to expect. What if he means to really do it? Jaeger could sense Kalina tensing up, and he retracted his fangs, surprising her with lips instead, and then the feel of his tongue licking the spot where his fangs would have pierced through. She was feeling woozy with desire and fear at the same time until he let her go, his eyes still looking straight at her, blazing with desire. He pulled away.
"See,"
he said.
"Lesson one. Never think the danger's over until it's over. The danger's never over. You should have learned that by now. Now, just imagine. What if I had been one of those vampires that you are so worried about?"
"You were one of those vampires."
"Was I?"
Jaeger arched an eyebrow.
"I guess we'll never know then."
"Guess we'll never know." Jaeger held her up.
"You're a little shaky,"
he said.
"Figure Stuart taught you. He fights a little better than a schoolgirl in kindergarten."
"Well, Master Jaeger." Her words were cool and chilling. "At least Stuart was here to teach me. What have you been doing all this time? Seducing women? Slobbering up blood? What?"
"I am doing,"
Jaeger said slowly,
"precisely what you should have been doing ages ago. I'm solving the case of my brother's mystery. But of course you think I'm a monster. I couldn't possibly do something without an ulterior motive. Certainly could never love.
We haven't spoken, said Kalina stiffly, since our last entanglement. She hoped she could pry an apology from him.
An entanglement?
Jaeger seemed amused.
What a funny phrase. What a silly word. We didn't entangle at all, as much as I would have liked to. In any case, I'll have you know, you pert, inquisitive thing. I went to Nox. I've assembled leads. I'm well placed to find Aaron's killers. And?
Stuart shouted across the vineyard as he entered.
Well, darling brother, said Jaeger. The trail of conspiracy brought me back here. Back to Rutherford, the Greystone wineries, and more.
Stuart was abashed.
How could you say? I'm saying, my dear brother, that you are now a suspect.
Chapter 14. Kalina felt ill. A suspect? She searched Stuart's smooth, calm face and could find no trace of malice there. His eyes were wide and blue like the sky after a summer storm. His mouth was unsmiling, but kind even now that his anger blazed like a stone fire against Jaeger.
How dare you? He whispered. How dare you accuse me of such a thing? I'm not accusing anyone, dear brother, said Jaeger.
He stalked around the two of them like a great feline encircling his prey.
I'm only commenting, that's all. And it seems that you knew the Stromboli brothers were interested in a... how shall we say it? Monopoly on vampire wine? It looks like they wanted to kidnap Father Botticelli for themselves and force him to make more wine, with the profits going directly to them.
Aaron would never give up that secret, Stuart shouted.
But would you?
For a price, perhaps.
Or for the location of the girl with the life's blood you've been seeking for so long?
It isn't true!
Stuart's voice cut like a knife through the air.
Kalina, it isn't true. Jaeger is here looking for any excuse to rail against his brother. Isn't that right, Jaeger?
Kalina felt vaguely sick. She remembered how she had felt when Stuart had first revealed he was a vampire. Full of apprehension and thinly veiled terror, terror she had swallowed down in her willingness to trust, to be open, to get closer to Aaron's family.
You're not wrong, said Jaeger. But all the same, isn't it suspicious that you haven't gone after the Stromboli brothers yet?
We were planning to, said Stuart. We were attacked before we could leave.
He raised his voice.
But I do not believe the Stromboli brothers would have killed Aaron.
Who are they? Asked Kalina.
Like vampire mobsters? Not the Stromboli brothers, said Stuart. They're not entirely clean, but they are professionals, and they're wine drinkers, not cannibals.
Don't use that word, said Jaeger. We're only part of the food chain.
The Stromboli brothers wanted to muscle in on our arrangement with Father Botticelli. This is true. But they have codes of honor, and killing Aaron makes no sense.
He's the only one with the information about the location of Father Botticelli. Killing him wouldn't have solved anything.
And they know it would have brought down the wrath of the vampire magistrate upon them. It's a stupid thing to do. No, someone else must have done it. Someone with far less honor.
But we were going to the Stromboli brothers, said Kalina.
I believe they may have information, said Stuart.
But I at least do not make false accusations without reason.
Kalina does, said Jaeger, darkly.
Isn't that right, Kalina?
What are you... Stuart took hold of her shoulders.
Don't listen to him, he said.
His fingers were tight and possessive on her. She felt uncomfortable. He stroked her hair.
He's only trying to do what he always does. Isn't that right?
Stuart. Stuart took her into his arms. His embrace was tight, uncomfortable. She knew what he wanted, for Jaeger to see them together, to make him jealous. She felt Stuart's mouth on hers, pulling her closer, pulling her more tightly, filled with desire for her.
"Don't let anything come between us, Kalina," said Stuart. "Please, don't let him lie to you."
She sensed the fear in his voice, a fear born out of centuries of sibling rivalry. Had he lost women to Jaeger before? Stuart kissed her, his mouth warm against her lips. She heard Jaeger's voice in her ears.
So you think you're with Prince Charming, right? And he's trying to keep you safe because he loves you? Ask him the real reason he won't sleep with you.
When he pulled away and she opened her eyes, Jaeger was gone. She crossed her arms. "What did you do that for?" she said.
"Kissed you? I always kiss you."
"No," she shook her head. "Not like that. That wasn't for me. That was for Jaeger. He wanted to show me off, to show him that he couldn't have me."
"Kalina, please."
She saw in his eyes that it was true.
"It wasn't like that.
I didn't realize you were only with me to make Jaeger jealous." Kalina knew she was speaking irrationally, more out of anger and jealousy and the stress of the past few days than out of any logical reason, but she felt a lump in her throat just the same.
"You know that isn't true. I..."
He cleared his throat.
"I feel very strongly about you. I care for you very deeply. But, Jaeger, you know what he's like."
"What did he mean? The real reason you won't sleep with me?" Kalina put her hands on her hips.
"What was Jaeger talking about?"
Stuart sighed heavily.
"I didn't want to tell you," he said. "I wanted you to be free of this burden."
"This burden? What burden?"
"Please, I didn't tell you for your own sake. I didn't want to put that responsibility on you."
"What responsibility?"
"Your life's blood. If it is drunk normally, it provides a vampire with impossible power. But if you give it as part of love..."
"Yes, I know. It turns the vampire human, right?"
"But only in a particular circumstance."
Stuart's voice grew heavy.
"If you are chaste."
"Chaste?" Kalina's voice grew a note higher. "Like a virgin?"
"Yes."
Stuart's voice dropped to a whisper.
"I thought if I told you, you would feel an obligation to me to..."
"You lied to me!" Kalina's voice rose in righteous anger. "You said it was for my protection, that you were afraid of hurting me."
"That was all true," said Stuart. "How can you doubt it? I thought I was doing the right thing."
"This whole time, you just wanted the life's blood. You wanted to make me fall in love with you, so I'd give it to you willingly. And keep me from Jaeger because you wanted to make sure I'd stay a..."
"Ew, ew!"
She stormed away from him.
"Don't touch me!" "It wasn't like that," Stuart insisted. "I wanted to do the right thing. I thought if you knew what the conditions of the spell were, you would make your choices based on that, rather than on your heart."
"Did you even like me?" Kalina continued on, her eyes full of tears. She was too hurt to listen to him. "Or are you only with me because you think I'll make you human again?"
"I'm crazy about you."
Stuart rushed to her, taking her hands in his. "But you can't suck my blood. You can't be with me. You can do it with Maeve, but not with me."
"You're special.
So special you can't even touch me."
"Is that what this is about?"
"Hello?" A voice echoed through the vineyard. It was bright, chirpy, female. "Blood delivery service." Maeve sauntered into view. On her face was a smile of ecstasy. The experience of giving Stuart blood had, in the past week, brought color to her cheeks and her lips. Where before she had seemed shy, even meek, now she was filled with confidence. From the way she strutted across the vineyard to the almost seductive manner in which she tossed her hair. Kalina was angry with her, despite herself. She knew that Maeve had no idea what she was doing, that it was she, Kalina, who had begged her to give blood. And yet she could not help the jealousy that overtook her, that flowed in her veins instead of blood. Maeve could give her blood to Stuart. In return, Maeve could experience what she had experienced, the lusty high of sharing blood with a vampire. But Kalina, for all her specialness, was forbidden.
"We'll talk about this later," said Stuart. "Please, please don't be angry."
"Hi, Maeve." Kalina's voice was brittle and sharp. "Great to see you. I've been taking vitamins, just like you suggested, and avoiding aspirin to make sure the blood doesn't clot." Stuart nodded awkwardly, his eyes on the ground. Why wasn't he looking at her? Kalina couldn't help wondering, what was going on between them? Is that what he really wanted? He was stuck with Kalina to groom her for her life's blood, but he really wanted Maeve? Kalina blinked back her tears. She was being irrational. She knew it. But she couldn't help the anger blazing up within her. They went into the house. "I even brought band-aids," said Maeve brightly.
"Kalina?"
Stuart's voice was trembling.
"Do you mind if I..."
"Oh, go ahead," said Kalina.
"Totally fine. Totally."
If Stuart had been able to perceive the irony in her words,
Her silent plea for him to refuse the blood, she might have been able to forgive him, but centuries of being undead had not yet honed him to the subtleties of female communication, and he nodded at her words, taking Maeve's neck into his mouth. The unbridled joy on Maeve's face was more than Kalina could bear, as she moaned slightly when Stuart's fangs sank deep into the white flesh of her throat. Kalina felt pain bubbling up inside of her, a blinding rage that closed her off to common sense. Of course they wanted each other. How had she been so stupid? How could she have not seen it before? Stuart had wanted Maeve all along. She didn't have to remain a virgin. She didn't need to be protected for her own life's blood. She could make her own decisions. She was free. Kalina couldn't believe how stupid she had been. Somewhere, deep inside of her, a rational voice was telling her that she was being more stupid now. Its cries were drowned out by her jealousy. Fine, she said. If you guys just want to do it, just bone already. I don't mind. Obviously, I'm stuck being a virgin forever. Stuart stopped immediately, turning to her. On his face was abashed confusion. What? Had tears not been stinging at her eyes, she might have seen that there was nothing but utter perplexity on his face at her words. Nevertheless, she found that she could not stop the torrent of anger that came out of her. I mean, obviously she's the one you want. Kalina, what? No! Maeve's voice was rich with concern. You know we were only doing this because you asked. Oh, come on. Like I can't see how much you enjoy it. Kalina stood up. I'm going, she said. Don't follow me. Or do you need to make sure your precious life's blood isn't being deflowered somewhere? Kalina, please. Stuart ran after her. It's not like that. It was never like that. Even if you weren't the carrier, I'd still want to wait. Want it to be special. Special, 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 Kalina shouted. Well, maybe I don't want to be special. Maybe I want you to do with me what you're obviously enjoying doing to her. You think I don't want to do that every day? Stuart's voice was filled with anger and pain. You think it's not a battle every time I see you? I've already had one boyfriend who would run away every time things got out of hand, said Kalina. I don't need another. She got into her family's spare car and slammed the door shut. I'm going, she shouted. Kalina! But the car was already speeding down the dark and dusty road. Night had come over them, and Kalina could see a shimmering moonlight through her tears. She didn't know if she'd been right or wrong. As her anger settled, she felt sorry for her harsh words. But the idea still filled her with disgust. Having to stay a virgin for some stupid vampire curse? She'd been happy to wait. She wanted her first time to be right, after all. But the idea of some vampires deciding whether she could or couldn't have sex filled her with disgust. With rage. Her mind flickered to thoughts of Jaeger. He'd been open and upfront about desiring her. No lies, no euphemisms, just a direct blaze in his eyes and the sensation of his mouth upon her lips. No, she couldn't think about. In a haze, she saw a deer in the middle of the road. Crap! She pressed on the brakes as quickly as she could, swerved to avoid it, but it was too late. The car veered sharply off the road and down into the woods. She saw a tree grow larger and larger before her, and then there was the sound of a crash, and the splintering of glass and wood, and then she saw nothing at all. Chapter 15
Kalina! Kalina!
Kalina opened her eyes. Through the swooning haze she could feel a pounding pain in her leg, and a further throbbing at her ankle.
Kalina!
It was Jaeger's voice, but it was softer than she was used to hearing it. She remembered that he had sounded cruel, callous when he spoke to her, but now his voice was rich and deep, filled with concern. His hands were lightly tapping at her cheeks, trying to rouse her into consciousness.
Kalina, wake up.
Where am I? She looked around. The car.
Smashed to pieces, Jaeger said. But you're fine, I think. You had a broken ankle. I've put a splint on it. Just don't move it.
Where am I? Kalina sat up. Am I safe?
I'm not going to hurt you, if that's what you're asking, said Jaeger. I'm not going to bite you. Don't worry.